Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and today we're coming to you from the offices of Tarlow Breed, Hart & Rogers, and along with Mark Z. Mark, a pleasure as always.
John, it's always a pleasure. Great being with you today.
Wonderful to have you. Why don't you introduce our next guest on the show?
Sure. Today we have Lori Yarvis, who's a senior partner at Archstone Law Group. Lori, great to have you on the show today.
Nice to have you. Why don't we start by you telling our listeners a little about the firm in general terms, and then we can talk specifically about your focus.
Sure, sounds good. So Archstone Law Group is a business law boutique. We are 9 lawyers. We focus on corporate and transactional work for our client companies. We counsel our clients on things like mergers and acquisitions, their transactions and transitions, things such as shareholder agreements and operating agreements and employment agreements and other types of contracts when partners are leaving a company or joining a company or they're scaling up. And then we also do a lot of work, what I call outside general counsel, which is basically being the trusted legal advisor to our clients, learning about their business, and then sort of standing alongside them when they have to make decisions about business strategy and manage risk. We are all, for the most part, big law firm. I don't like to say that.
Survivors?
Survivors,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Crossed over to the other side.
Exactly. And so we like to think that we have a certain level of expertise and sophistication that we can bring to bear. We're not just sort of reviewing contracts.
What I want to say, what's very interesting about your practice as you started going into it, being the outside GC, you're very collaborative. You work with your clients at every step. So obviously, I know, full disclosure, I know some people that are clients of yours, and one thing they've always said is you're with them. Like, you're accessible, and your firm's accessible, as opposed to some big firms. Big firm attorneys, that there's a deal, they'll work on the deal, and then they'll move on. You're continually with them every step of the way. So as a counselor, as you said, as a collaborator, and literally being with different deals or situations that come up on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, we hope that we're going to have long-standing relationships with our clients. Whether they're a startup or a company that is, where the owners are looking to make an exit, we are involved every step of the way, and we like to, as you say, be collaborative, with our clients, with the team that sometimes we help them assemble, whether it's a CPA or an investment banker or a business broker. That's how we like to work, because we feel like the client gets the best services and the best value when there's
right.
a team and everybody's talking to each other and everybody's involved.
Right.
And typically you're talking about complex matters, and as Mark referred to, they're not they may be transactional in nature, but for the people in the midst of it, it's their lives, and it's multifaceted.
It's their lives, it's their futures. We focus primarily on privately held businesses, closely held, meaning that there are a number of owners, whether they're owners or passive investors. It's usually a relatively small group. Or they're a family business, and so it really is their lives. It's it may support a family. There may be a significant workforce that is involved with the business. So yeah, we are really helping them plan their futures, manage their growth, manage risks, helping them achieve their goals.
And your own practice, you mentioned before we came on air, focuses in a couple of industry sectors.
Yeah. So two of my firm. One of my firm's core areas and one of the things that we're known for is healthcare. We've been doing it for a long time. In fact,
always busy.
Yes, it is. And for the past 2 years, we've been named best healthcare law firm in our category by U.S. News and World Report.
Which Excellent. Congratulations.
Wonderful. I'm very proud of that. And so by healthcare, I mean really the business of running a healthcare practice. It's not so much the litigation and the malpractice litigation. People think healthcare, and sometimes that's what they think. It's more just helping the practitioners and the providers operate their businesses. in a way that enables them to provide the best services that they can. And so, you know, so that means, you know, it could be, you know, helping a resident who is negotiating their first employment agreement, you know, joining a practice or a hospital or healthcare system, to helping a group of physicians set up a practice compliantly, to working with physicians who are expanding. Maybe they're, you know, bringing on another group or moving into other specialty areas, to you know, sort of the end stage where, you know, maybe they're selling the practice to an employee or a third party. There's definitely a trend right now in healthcare where providers are consolidating, just like the hospitals are consolidating.
Right. And I was going to ask about that. That's created a lot of complexity in the industry, and and you know, payer mixes and things of that nature. And so it's not as straightforward as you know, we're taking these three docs and bringing them into our practice. There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there are a lot of moving parts. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, you know, people who've been in the industry for a long time, you know, see trends, but they, you know, they sort of repeat themselves. Mm-hmm. So now that one of the trends is, you know, we want to reduce costs and improve quality. I mean, it seems to me that's probably always been a trend,
right.
But we're sort of throwing different tools at, you know, to try and, or using different tools to try and figure out how to make that happen. And so there's this consolidation happening right now. So you see, you know, the hospitals are joining forces to try and scale their, you know, negotiating power with some of the third-party payors, the health insurance companies, and the healthcare practices are also joining forces in accountable care organizations, right, and the like.
And that's brought, you know, from a consumer perspective, obviously a level of complexity, because you think you're being serviced by a doctor in a private practice, yet he or she may be part of a larger group. I had no idea I was getting a hospital service. Those types of issues, and it's the landscape has shifted as the payer mix has shifted, and I think a lot of the burden's been shifted to consumers. So it's not what we're talking about here, but it probably creates some complexity, and from a service perspective for your clients, things to think about. You know, how are you perceived in the marketplace by your patients?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when you go to see your doctor now, more often than not, they're part of a healthcare system, which is, you know, which actually I think has a lot of benefits. For example, you know, electronic health records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a big sort of bugaboo for a lot of providers because,
right,
you know, they're being required now to use electronic health record systems. They're very expensive to purchase. They're very time consuming to implement. But in the long run, if you've got an electronic health record, then all of your specialists, including your PCP, have access to your records at any given time. They know what medications you're on. So you know, it's a benefit.
Are you representing talk about practices that you're working with, too. Are you representing doctors that are starting? I'm hearing a lot about concierge practices that are really growing now.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a trend. You know, they're expensive.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that, you know, we're doing a lot of concierge practices.
Right.
But yeah, that's definitely a trend. You know, people want to be able to have 24/7 access,
right,
to their provider.
Yep, right.
Absolutely. And that tends to be sort of outside of the third-party payer system.
Correct.
Yeah. Another trend that's very interesting, I just negotiated a telemedicine contract.
Interesting.
For a health insurance plan that is going to be providing telemedicine to its members.
Hmm.
It's a whole new world. I mean, when you read the papers and you read about Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway,
right,
you know, joining forces to,
right,
try and figure out better delivery systems for healthcare.
The ultimate disruptors.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things they're going to be looking at, I'm sure, is telemedicine.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. When you talk about telemedicine, are you talking about, for example, booking X amount of time with the doctor on the phone or Skyping or whatever to talk about your issue, and you don't have to come to their office, but obviously you're spending time with them? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. I mean, telemedicine, you know, in the past has been used more in rural communities,
right,
where people don't have access to providers, but now more and more people are appreciating the convenience and especially when you're sick, of,
right,
having to go visit your practitioner, you can just dial them up.
Right.
You know, if you have an app on your phone, you can you know, make an appointment with a provider, and you know, they can see you via Skype or audio. Mm-hmm.
There's also, I mean, just to follow that up, I remember years ago I needed to talk to a specific doctor, and the guy was booked for 6 months, and I really needed at least to talk to him and get his advice. Finally, I said to his assistant, "Can he at least talk on the phone?" And so we actually set up a time for him to talk, and then I said, "How will we do that? Are you going to bill me for your time?" He said, "No, this is a courtesy because you didn't come into the office." So I think it's interesting how you're quantifying it, because I got the information I needed, which was really, really helpful, for rather than have to wait 6 months, where the doctor can, at least if he or she is not having to make a formal visit, can work it in between other physical visits.
Yeah, and bill for the time.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Now you can bill for it.
And it probably allows them to leverage the infrastructure that they have around them as well, the PAs and clinical nurses and people of that nature who can do some intake and help them, you know, streamline their time that they're spending with patients, because we know that they're stretched to the max most of the time.
They are. And yeah, to the extent you can leverage with, you know, what they call the extenders, like the NPs, the nurse practitioners, and the physician assistants, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You know what's also that I find very interesting is certain is attracting doctors to certain organizations. Like there's certain practices like Boston, obviously, when you talk about insurance providers, maybe the doctors will get more, whereas I think other states like Rhode Island, they're paying doctors less. So that's the other issue in terms of the movement. I don't know if you've seen that in terms of practice groups, and some practices have to use physician's assistant and have to use nurse practitioners because they can't get certain doctors.
And, you know, I think, you know, there may be a dearth of PCPs. You know, I haven't looked at statistics recently, but I mean, I know the hospitals are definitely interested in integrating, you know, family medical care and PCPs into their under their umbrellas.
Well, fascinating. You certainly picked an interesting niche, because you know, the only thing that's constant is change in the healthcare industry, and I think you're probably up for even more busyness and activity in that sector.
Yeah, it's always busy. It's always interesting, and you know, I love working with the providers. I come from a long line of physicians, so I sort of understand how they work and how they think, and it's you know, they're great clients.
Excellent. Lori, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
So probably on our website, which is archstonelaw.com, or they can email me at ljarvis, Y-A-R-V-I-S, at archstonelaw.com.
And your phone number?
Is 781-314-0108.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Lori Jarvis of Archstone Law Group, and it's a pleasure having you on Radio Entrepreneurs.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Lori.
You're listening to Radio Entrepreneurs, coming to you from the offices of Tarlow Breed, Hart & Rogers, and we'll be right back with another segment.